Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. It is Easter Monday, which is so exciting. It's also April Fool's Day, but don't be a fool and call us with your question. We're going to take calls for 2 hours today, 1-800-229-3000. And joining me is Mark Cameron and Dr. Alice Benton. And we always love to hear what's on your minds. And today we're going to hear from Alice. Alice, what's on your mind?
Well, I think you'll appreciate this, Becky, with your previous career in hairdressing. My 9-year-old daughter has lovely long blonde hair, very sensitive scalp, hates to have her hair brushed, and usually my husband and I stay on top of it pretty well. Well, the last 2 weeks, it just got out of hand, folks, and the snarls built. I mean, it got bad. She looked like a punk rocker by the end of the week with that teased hairstyle because we just weren't getting to it, and she wanted to avoid the pain of it, and so she was fine with that. So we spent an hour, she and I, working through it on Sunday, and it was not a happy scene. Well, we got through it, but having put it off for 2 weeks, there was such an accumulation of problems, and it got me thinking about relationships, because we have little snarls in relationships almost every day. We step on each other's toes, we hurt each other, we're avoidant, we say things we regret later, but so many of us put it off because it's easier to just sweep it on by and not deal with it. And when we let that happen over time, that accumulation will build up. And it can get so bad if we wait too long where it actually has to be cut off or cut out. Sometimes it gets beyond repair. And so I just wanted to use that example to encourage all of us to not delay dealing with the snarls in our hair, in life, in relationship for too long, because we pay a higher price the longer we wait and the longer we avoid.
That's so good. Time doesn't heal anything by itself, right? And so the snarls add up and it gets worse and worse. Even if you're on the receiving end, sometimes we don't even pay attention to our own feelings in those situations. Mark, do you have any snarls?
Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you this? I snarled yesterday in church on Easter Sunday.
Oh, no.
In church on Easter Sunday. It was building up, just like you said. Yeah. I was like, I went to a really large church, and this lady next to me saved like 8 seats, and there was probably over 1,000 people in there, and people constantly kept tapping me on the shoulder. Are those seats taken? Are those seats taken? I kept on saying, you have to ask the lady down there. And literally after 45 minutes, I snarled.
Yeah.
I snarled. Mm. I let it build up, and I knew that it was building up. But I love what you're saying here, Alice. My wife and I saw a little, I don't know, it wasn't really a meme. It was like a picture the other day, and it, was, mm-hmm. and it said you can either have the hard life now and the easy life later, or you can have the easy life now and the hard life later. And it drew a picture of a hill, you know, hard life now, easy life later on the back end, or the other way around. Yes. And so you're totally right. We need to learn to recognize these things in our life and start to deal with it now before it becomes a problem. And you know what? It's easier when we can be the person holding ourselves accountable than when we have to have somebody else come alongside and hold us accountable. Oh, that's more pain.
And if we'll enact confession, apology, making requests, or clarifying what our limits are, all of those things work out those snarls before they get to be too bad, before they turn into a dreadlock and it has to be cut off.
You know, one of the things I love about this, too, is it's that paying attention. Mark, as you're you're describing that situation, we all got a little tense because it's the house of the Lord. We should all be happy and not be saving seats, but saving people, and you know, all the things that, you know, I could say about that. But it's really hard because it catches us off guard, and we want to let our guard down so that we can be aware of it. We need to be humble. We need to know that there are going to be snarls because we're imperfect and we are in need of a savior. So if you were saving seats yesterday, I hope you're saving people
please
today.
Please forgive me.
We'll be back taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. Communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited. An Eastern Orthodox priest rose and asked to speak. He turned, faced the people, and gave the Easter greeting. He is risen. Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." Friend, these are the sweetest words we could ever hear. News, movies, books, and people of influence may attempt to discredit Christianity, but they'll never thwart the truth that He is risen indeed. Visit me, Steve Arterburn, at newlife.com to discover what Christ's resurrection means for you. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I love that, and He is risen indeed. And we talk about that every day here when we're talking about having that new life, to have that transition of just a, you know, redeemed heart and a free soul. We want you to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, give us a call because we want to introduce you. It will change everything in your life. We're also taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We want to help you in any way possible. And we are going to talk with Lee, who's calling us from Chicago, Illinois, listens on the internet. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi there. Thank you for having such a wonderful show that helps people.
We're happy to be here. How can we help you today, Lee?
Okay, so my brother has been involved in a relationship for over 30 years that is very violent. The girl has never been diagnosed as having personality disorder, but I clearly know she has problems. But now it's got to the point where it's so violent that the nine-year-old of theirs, they have two children together, one's 23 and the other one's nine, that he has been on suicide watch at school, rocking when he stayed with me last year, just crying all the time about his mother hardly being around. It was because she was in jail for attacking my brother in front of her, and her boyfriend went to jail for attempted murder, and he's still in there. So anyway, she got bailed out on only $100, even though she was an accomplice to this. And she just walks into the house on any given day and just gets violent. He allows it, and she's not supposed to be near the child nor near the house. Now my parents moved down in December, and now she has had the epitome of violent behavior, attacked my dementia mother, who's on a walker and a cane, because she barged into the house after my brother. He said they had a fight over what kind of dessert to bring. Well, it's always something really stupid. So anyway, in front of the son, he took his cell phone, ran outside, locked himself in the truck. This is what he always does, so he's not in the middle of it. And the police came. So she threw my mother. My mother went down to stop her from pounding my brother in the face with a wad of keys. And my brother's been told a long time ago, because she's a meth addict, that he should not respond in any violent way.
There's a lot of chaos.
Yeah. So then, so she throws my mother across the floor because my mother comes down and says, "Stop hitting my son." Now, my poor parents just retired down there, bought a beautiful home 20 minutes from them. And this was already the second incident. And they've only been there for 3 months now. So within 2 months. So anyway, they call the police to pick up paramedics to pick up my mother. Nobody presses charges, except my brother pressed charges for her assaulting him, but then he went down and dropped the charges against her. There was an order put out right away that she could not be near the child, but I think that was longstanding from the year before when she tried to kill my brother.
Lee, we hear that there is a lot of disruption going on in the family, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And so we want to get to your question, though. How can we best help you today?
What do I do from afar? I'm far away. I'm hearing this every time I tell them that they need to get an order to keep her far away from the house. They are so afraid of my brother dumping them. And I said, oh, my goodness, he would completely understand that only him and the little child could be around. You know, you don't need to be afraid of that, but they are because they really depend on him.
Would you explain that? They're afraid he'll dump them. What does that mean, dump them?
Afraid he'll be mad and not talk to them or help them anymore as his parent.
And they rely on his help. They need his intervention for something.
Yeah, they do rely. Well, most of it's done. They've moved in. Everything's done. You know, now they have to get contractors in for whatever else that they need. But they rely on my brother's companionship, bringing the little guy over. They babysit a lot, like on a Saturday when he's out of school and he needs a sitter for him.
Okay.
That's fine.
That makes sense. And as you wonder, what do I do? You've tried to advise your parents. You've told them to get layers of protection put in place here. Have your parents at all been open to professional intervention for them? Counseling?
No. They're totally, my mother screamed at me last night because she said to me, oh, Tammy came over 2 weeks ago and yesterday for Easter. And I said, Mom, she's dangerous. Please don't have her there. Any minute she could go off like an atom bomb again. And the next time she could kill you. She started screaming at me. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. And your brother doesn't do anything. And I can't talk to you anymore. And I've never, since all this started, I haven't even approached except in the beginning when she was hurt, her whole entire face down to her chest was bruised.
Well, so, Lee, what kind of help have you gotten in the process of this? Like, are you in counseling?
I have a counselor.
Good job. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
And, Lee, when your parents and your brother aren't willing to keep those structures in place to keep themselves safe, it puts you in such a powerless and probably hopeless position watching it happen.
Yeah.
There's very little you can do. At some point, you probably have only the option or the few options of contacting Child Protective Services. It sounds like they maybe have been involved. Is there some sort of an order to keep the mom away from the 9-year-old for now?
They may have an order already on this, but my brother's not listening to any of the order.
And Lee, anybody can make ongoing reports to Child Protective Services, and sometimes it takes multiple reports for the next action to be taken. And so if your brother's not following the orders, and if he's not willing to get help, and I would make sure to ask that first, you may have to let your family know, folks, if I keep hearing about these things happening, I may have to take the step of calling the authority to keep the 9-year-old safe and mom and dad to keep you safe. Adult Protective Services is the other organization for folks 65 or older, so that if your parents are in danger of this woman, they may need to be called Adult Protective Services for an evaluation of their safety, and certainly the police. It's awful to have to go to that level, but sometimes we do when innocent people can't or won't protect themselves.
They'll disown me. They're afraid of, I'm afraid that my parents will disown me. My stepfather does that sometimes.
It's a risk. Let's hear from Mark. Let's hear what Mark has to say.
Yeah. So, Lee, when I'm hearing your situation and I'm hearing, you know, the way that your brother gets treated by his girlfriend, and then the way that your parents are fearful that he'll leave them, and then that you're fearful that, you know, they might leave you, I picture in my mind this triangle, right? And it's this codependent, chaotic cycle that you guys are all stuck in, because you all have this fear of needing the other person in order to survive. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to be really difficult for you, because I 100% agree with what Alice is saying. You know, when we see danger, we do need to call the authorities and we need to make the appropriate reports and things like that. But when you don't have any power in a situation, it's all on these other folks to make these decisions. What you're left with is, how much is this going to end up controlling my life? And here's the difficult thing that I'm going to say to you is you may have to learn to distance yourself here, Lee, because you're stuck in this codependency with your family. And so learning to distance yourself, learning to say, I love you guys, I've given my opinion, And so you know what I think. And so until you're ready to make actions on that, I think I'm going to stand over here and I'm going to live my life. How difficult is that for you to be able to detach in that way without that fear that they're gonna disown you?
Well, it's difficult because I've experienced of my stepfather numerous times disowning me, even as a young girl, 12 years old. So it's very, and he does it very hurtfully, very meanly. And then all of a sudden he pops back in the scene again. And sometimes you don't even know what you're being punished for. And then other times, you know, I'm afraid of what if my mother, she has a dementia, it's going into Alzheimer's, she's very fragile. What happens if she dies or I upset her? Then I'm going to get blamed.
So that's a lot of fear here, Lee. And so this is where I would say that's where your work in therapy really needs to center around, is around these significant events in your history, and then learning how to heal, learning how to detach in a healthy way. That's where I'd direct you.
And Lee, we all have to pick our pain. So either we stick with the pain of this is how my life is, we pick the pain of distancing ourselves, which can result in loss of relationship. We pick the pain of potentially calling the authority figures in to protect someone like the 9-year-old and your parents. But you're right, there's a consequence for every single one of these options that we're laying out to you. And so you'll have to really prayerfully consider which version of pain am I willing to allow in my life, because they all are hurtful. And Lee, building a family around you, a new family, a spiritual family around you, especially of sisters, will help strengthen you to make this choice. Because if these are the only people that are close in your life, then it's almost impossible to release them or to risk losing relationship with them. But if you can build up community, it strengthens you to take those kind of hard risks in relationship to protect yourself.
Yeah,
yes,
it's really
rely on my girlfriends that I grew up with, and newer ones and cousins. Some are saved, some aren't saved, but they're getting very spiritual because we're not youngsters anymore. So they're seeking now, which is a real good position for me to focus on with my girlfriends that need me, really, or need to know.
I also think
wondering how I stay alive in all this, these girlfriends.
Right, well, but I hope that something that Alice and Mark offered you today can give you time to reflect and look back. We can get you connected with a life recovery group on codependency, which could be part of that family that Alice is referring to. The other part is that with your mother's dementia, you might get reactions from her that are not really representative of how she really feels. Because a lot of times in dementia, you have big reactions. Some folks get very angry. Others, it's very sad emotions come up. And so it'll be really important for you to have people who can give you insight so that you can do the right thing, knowing that there's not always going to be somebody that's happy about your choice. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and we'll be praying for your family, Lee, and this situation. And I'm so glad that you called today. It's tough because we have a lot of people that actually have a similar story. Believe it or not, it seems like this is pretty chaotic, but families are tough sometimes, you know, because people make all kinds of poor choices. Alice?
Well, setting a boundary reveals really the quality of the relationship. Those who can accept our boundaries, that's a solid, genuine relationship. Those who reject us because of our healthy boundaries, it probably means there wasn't a healthy relationship there to begin with.
That's right. And you are going to feel sad when they don't accept your boundary. And they reject you because you're trying to be healthy. And you have to work through those feelings. We talk about those boundaries all the time, right? Where we would love for people to respect those boundaries.
And that's the mark of becoming secure, right? When you can accept disappointment from another person and learn to be okay with that because you know it's healthy for you.
Yeah. If you're struggling with boundaries, maybe you can give us a call. 1-800-229-3000. We got a call waiting. We're going to have some lines open. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so grateful for all of you who are part of our giving family. And this can be you if you've never given a dollar before. We just started a matching gift campaign. So that means every dollar that we receive will be doubled up to $400,000. We had a group of donors who believe in the mission and the ministry of New Life, want to have more and more people hear about the hope and the help that we offer. And so if you've never given before, now is the time. You can go to newlife.com/donate. You can also text the word match to 28950. That's match to 28950. Or, of course, you can always call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're taking calls right now here. This is part of what we do and part of what your gifts are going for. And we are so grateful to be able to do that right now. We're going to talk with Jack, who's calling us from Sacramento, listens on Sirius XM. And we're glad you called, Jack. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm pretty down. My wife is going to leave me. I don't know what to do with myself. I've been trying, you know, I took the emotional freedom class, and I tried to connect with people with the same issues I have, and, you know, there's not really anybody there, and, you know, I'm 30 years older than she is. She's a Filipina, and I don't know what, I talked to her. She says she just wants her freedom. She doesn't have a relationship, even though I did catch her with somebody, or, you know, she admitted, you know, there was sex texting and all that stuff with somebody, and it just, you know, and she said that's over with, and she's doing, you know, she just wants to be on her own and do, for the first time ever. I brought her here from the Philippines, and she doesn't want to stay with me. We have a 15-year-old son, and she believes that, you know, she says she doesn't love me romantically. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, love goes up and down, you know. You can't love and hate, you know. That happens in a marriage. I try to explain everything. I even tried to get her through the classes of Jack Hibbs, you know, the marriage counselor and stuff, and she just falls asleep and is not interested. She's Roman Catholic, and she told me when I brought her here that she would change and work with me on that, and that didn't happen. And I'm just so devastated over this. I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, Jack. Jack, how long did you say that you guys have been married?
We've been married 18 years, January 20th.
Okay. And she's unwilling to do anything, and she's headed for divorce. Like, she's not even giving you an option.
Well, she said she went to one of the counselors that New Life referred me to.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really too thrilled with the counselor because he's not calling me back after, because he said he can't really talk to me, as I understood it, until after he talks to her, that kind of thing. And so she went and told her whatever, and I haven't heard back from the counselor at all after she went. And that was Wednesday. And
The hard part, Jack, he's right. The counselor's right. We, you know, confidentiality is very important. But let's start with you, Mark. How can we help Jack in this really difficult time?
Oh, Jack, I feel for you. And I feel for you because I've been there. And I know exactly what that feels like to have my first wife cheated on me, not my current wife. I found out and she wanted to leave and refused to end the affair. And we had a son together. And so, yeah, it's really, really painful. And when we're going through this now, I understand what was happening inside of me. You know, we have an attachment system where we are drawn to the person, because they're the person who should be our safety and our comfort. And then we have our safety system at the same time that's saying, dangerous. This person's hurting you. Also run away at the same time. And it's really, really confusing to have those two systems work against each other. So it's really difficult because you think, well, what should I do? I should do everything to save my marriage at all costs. But at the same time, she's actively cheating on you. And so it's learning to get the right support, but also being able to draw that line to start to distance yourself as hard as it is, and recognize that the draw back toward her is the attachment drawer that's inside of you. So it's a really difficult situation here, Jack. I can understand about the counselor, because we are bound by confidentiality. We can't break that confidentiality. And sometimes it's painful. It's painful for us because we have people who come to us and we can see that they're not going in the right way. And sometimes I've had that happen where a spouse has reached out to me and I can't say anything. And it feels cold on my side because I can't even respond back. But what I do is I silently I pray for the other person. So I'm really hurting for you, Jack. And did you say that you are in therapy yourself?
I went to this counselor one time. He seen my wife, and no, there's no therapy I'm going to. I think I'm going to see a therapy Wednesday.
Yes.
A video call. I think she's calling or whatever from Kaiser.
Okay.
And I'll talk to her about it. But the thing is, I talked to my wife, too. I says, you never tell me, or you never really make it really plain that you really are having problems with something, and it just wasn't clear to me.
So Jack, you know, Jack, think about easy. Jack, think about that over the break. What has been your side of the street in this? What might have added to distance between the two of you? Although the affair is not your fault, that was her choice. But do think about your part. And when we come back from the break, we're going to ask you more about that, because that may be where we have power to do something with you and for you.
Well, and if nothing comes to mind, Jack, if she has complained about anything, that's good. That's part of that just revelation. We will be back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we're talking with Jack, and there is a lot of heartbreak that he's experiencing. And it sounds, Jack, like you are doing everything that you can possibly do to get some answers and to get moving forward on this. We left off with Alice asking you about your side of the street. Jack, Alice, go ahead and continue with that.
Do you have an answer to that, Jack? What's an imperfection of yours that may have impacted the marriage over time?
The only thing I can think of is that I settled for her not communicating with me. You know, she doesn't. When she has a problem, she goes hides in the bedroom and she never communicates. So, and then when I start talking to her and try to get, hey, you never communicated. She calls it yapping. She calls it complaining. She doesn't want me to do that. So I stop. And because of that, we disconnected.
She withdraws and she avoids. And although you made many attempts to break through, eventually you stopped trying to break through, which is understandable after many unsuccessful attempts. Jack, I appreciate your humility in being able to acknowledge that. And I want to give you two other clues that I think are also worth pursuing, because when you're teetering on the point of separation, divorce, it's really a time where you may have little power in being able to influence her to stay. And your main ability will lie in what you do about yourself and your character. She gave us a clue, potentially, when she said, I need freedom. Freedom might mean things about the relationship felt overly controlling. I don't know that that's the case. She might be throwing it out there because she wants to continue an affair. I don't really trust that necessarily. But it's worth you looking at, was I ever, unintentionally, too controlling of my wife? I want you to pursue that. Jack, you also said one of your attempts was you've tried to explain everything to her. And I want to make sure that you also have spent a lot of time listening to her. Because if we're talking, if we're yapping too much, and we're not listening enough. And now it's tough with your wife because she's not saying a lot. But what I would recommend you attempt to do is to acknowledge to her, hey, I know I've done a lot of yapping and I've done a lot of explanation. And I really want to hear from you. Was I too controlling? Have I been too harsh? Have I talked too much for too long? Because if there's something I can do to change myself, I want to. For our marriage, I want to. It's kind of a Hail Mary attempt, Jack, where we try that last-ditch effort. But it's got to be combined with a willingness on your part to follow up if she's to give you any feedback or to follow up on what I have said that might be part of the issue. And we know you're depressed, Jack. We hear it in your voice. It feels like your family's falling apart. And so I want you to make sure you're going to get your own counseling and even a medication evaluation if you have depression. I'm hearing that in your voice. It is worth looking into, Jack, so you get all the support you can so you can keep managing day by day.
I can't sleep, I tell you that.
I believe you.
Right.
Yeah, and what we're saying here, Jack, is we're not...
And she's happy. She's happy walking around the house and feeling good. Mm-hmm. She says she's going to be leaving in June. She's staying for May because I have cataract surgery. She knows I have back problems. She knows I have issues, you know, and she just kind of like said in another way, she doesn't want to be around to... She's 40. She wants
Jack,
to be.
Jack, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you because these couple months you happen to have, this is the golden opportunity for you to show I am going to do everything I can in these couple of months to work on myself so that I become a safer, stabler person for you. Whether or not it succeeds in saving your marriage, Jack, it will benefit you. It will benefit your son, and it might just show her, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to turn things around.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I just want to leave you with this here, Jack. We're not saying that it's your fault and it's your responsibility. But what Alice is advising you here is to start to work on yourself now, because working on yourself now is going to start to be the foundation of strength for you mm-hmm. later on, mm-hmm. whether she stays or whether she doesn't stay. There's two things that I would say to you, because I remember I'm going back to that feeling, right? That feeling of desperation of me thinking like I got to do everything I can to convince my wife to save the marriage. And here's the two pieces of advice I'm going to give you is don't beg, because that keeps you in desperation, and don't preach mm-hmm. because that to her is going to feel like controlling. So just do what Alice is saying here, is identify what you need to work on and start to work on that. And that's going to help you, no matter what way she ends up choosing here. And we're really sorry. I just know how painful that is, Jack. Yeah, and let us get you in touch with a therapist for you who knows about betrayal recovery, knows about those dynamics, so that person can help you through what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, mm-hmm. which I think will minister to you in this time as well. And we'll be praying, Jack, we'll be praying for a miracle, because they do happen. Mm-hmm. And but miracles sometimes happen with a lot of work, too. So in either case, we're sad that this is happening for you, but I'm glad that you're connecting with somebody. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Sarah, who's calling us from Columbus, Ohio, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Sarah. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi. I have been having problems lately with, like, deciding if I should stay in a relationship with my boyfriend or break up.
Okay. What are some, like, how long have you been together, and what are some of the red flags that are kind of showing up for you?
We've been together for 3 years, and I just kind of feel, like, uncomfortable with him, like, sort of awkward, and, yeah, I don't know. I just feel kind of really awkward and, like, I don't really want to spend time with him anymore. Like, I feel like maybe I've lost feelings.
Okay. Alice, what would you suggest for Sarah?
Sarah, would you tell us how old you are?
I'm 20.
And did something change in the relationship? Did something significant happen that might have changed your feelings towards him?
I don't think so.
He didn't break your trust. He didn't hurt you in a big way.
Oh, no, he's done nothing wrong. It's all on my part. Mm-hmm.
And as you've had this feeling that you don't even want to spend time with him, if that's been happening for a little while, why do you think you hesitate to act on that, that perhaps this isn't the relationship for you? What holds you back, or what holds you in the relationship?
I just feel really bad that, like, I feel like if I left him, it would hurt him a lot. And, like, yeah, I just don't want to hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Sarah, you've got such a sweet heart here. Here's what I would say to you, because you are quite young here, at 20 years old, and at that age, I think it's normal to want to explore. It's really hard to, I think, commit to the first person who you meet, and you've been dating him for 3 years, which means you met him when you were around 17 years old, and so you've got a lot more. You've got at least another 5 years of brain development to go. I don't know if you knew that or not. I know we tend to say once you hit 18 years old, you're an adult, but really you don't really get an adult brain. It keeps on forming until you're in the mid-20s. And so during that time, it's still a time of exploration for us. And so learning to, you don't really know what all your likes and preferences are until you go out there and you explore. And part of life is, unfortunately, feeling hurt from rejection, feeling hurt from a breakup, but learning how to get through that with support from others is how we learn how to build resiliency in our lives here. So here's what I would say to you is, I know that you're feeling bad because you're wanting to break up, because you and I think that's what the drive is underneath, is you're wanting to go out and explore, and that's normal. But learning to be okay that you're actually releasing him to go out and explore too. Does
yeah,
that make
I
sense?
Was thinking, well, and Sarah, just like what you just said, Mark, nobody wants to be together because you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you think that he is aware of your feelings?
I've kind of, like, brought up my concerns about, like, maybe wanting to break up in the past, but for a different reason. So, yeah, no, I haven't really, like, talked about it.
So, Sarah, what you're ending up doing is you're giving him a surface level protection for his feelings while remaining in a disingenuous relationship. And the disingenuous part, that will hurt him more over time unless you do something to change it sooner than later. So truly caring for somebody would include being honest about how you're feeling. We have this great book about dating. We'll talk a little bit more about it after the break, but we're going to share with you some principles of what can be healthier to both protect you and protect him long term.
Yes, and I was actually wanting to send her How We Love, because I was thinking this is a great time to understand how we love. Literally, it's like maybe a twofer. We'll send you both of us, Sarah, because right. I think it could make a difference in this relationship and in the future relationship. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to make you aware about two upcoming online workshops that we're going to have. Every Man's Battle, which is very rarely offered online. It's a great opportunity for you men to deal with the sexual integrity challenges that you may have. And if you're in a relationship, women, if you have a man who's struggling in his sexual integrity, give us a call and let's make that first call and get him connected to Every Man's Battle online. It's April 13th. And we're also going to do Emotional Freedom again, June 1st. That's always online. And we just want to let you know about these things because we want to help you in those challenges that you have. Right now, we're talking with Sarah. She's got a challenge. Pretty sure she wants to end a relationship. And Alice, you had some pointers that you wanted to offer her before we let her go.
Sarah, I am a people pleaser and I'm a conflict avoider. I'm in recovery, so I'm growing out of it. But those are two things that have kept me stuck being disingenuous in relationships and situations for too long. And like you, I've stuck with a boyfriend for too long as well, just because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. He could always convince me to stay. But it hurt us both in the long run, and we both wasted time when there was somebody better out there for each one of us. And so my great hope for you is that you will get into your own counseling. And there are a couple things I want you to try to work on. One is that self-awareness of knowing your own needs and wants, and then being assertive enough to express it. And Sarah, sometimes we've got to practice with somebody safer than our boyfriend so that we can then be assertive with him. It can take some role playing to build up to having that tough conversation. And then I want you to consider the idea of codependency. And that's when you and I, we really sacrifice what we need and we want too much too long for other people, thinking we're helping them, but in the end we do them a disservice because we're not being totally honest. So what I'm saying can be hard to receive, but I want you to know, girl, it is for your best interest in the long term so that you and I can be more honest and upfront faster with the people in our lives.
Well, and this is one of those snarls like you were talking about earlier on at the beginning of the show. And I don't know if you listened to that, Sarah, but go back, get the podcast, listen to that. You can either have the pain now and the sweetness later, or you can offer the sweetness now and then have the pain later.
Yes.
I hope that's helpful, Sarah. And, you know, we'll get you connected with the Life Recovery Group on codependency. We have Life Recovery Groups all over the country, and you can do them online as well as in person. And, you know, we just want to help you move forward in this way. Another way we're helping you is I mentioned Every Man's Battle online. This isn't for Sarah, obviously, but you could listen to it too. We have our Every Man's Battle podcast that drops every Monday, and we've got a new episode out where Doug and JJ are discussing secondary boundaries in recovery. So that is there for you to get wherever you get your podcasts, and we're grateful that they have offered this great resource for so many people. We are going to talk with Jean. She listens on the app, is from Los Angeles, and we are grateful that you called, Jean. How can we help you today?
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I am calling about my grandson who has a temper, and my daughter is going through a divorce, but we saw this temper actually beforehand. And he's relatively a good little guy, but when he doesn't get his way or he gets angry, he has these outbursts, and my daughter is just to the point she doesn't know what to do. She wasn't planning on spanking in the beginning, but she's resorted to that now, and that hasn't helped. She's also, what else has she done? She doesn't let him watch TV hardly at all, because we found like when he was watching TV, he got even angrier. And so she's taken away TV for the most part. And as a grandparent, we never let him watch it. And just recently, I mean, he couldn't get his sister's attention, so he just punched her in the face.
Oh.
You know, and another thing he did was one morning she was letting them help her with breakfast, so she gave them each a turn, his sister and him. And when he didn't get another turn, he got really angry, and he walked out of the room and went and broke the music holder on the piano, mm-hmm. just broke it. So that's a couple of examples.
That does help outline it for us, what's been going on. And, ooh, there's a surprising and a little frightening that he's been that aggressive. Jean, has there been any psychiatric evaluation and medical evaluation recently?
Well, how old is he, Jean?
He's only four. He's four and a half. He'll be five in August. And I mean, it doesn't happen like every day or anything like that, but it's just when he's very, when he doesn't get his way. And it's kind of upsetting, you know. I mean, she's called me in tears because of it, my daughter.
So here's what I would
say.
Here's what I would say,
Jean.
As a four-year-old, while this is not the behavior that we want to have, it's within the spectrum of normal.
If he were 13, this would be going
right,
a different direction.
Right, but this isn't within the spectrum of normal behavior for a four-year-old. So what happens is when we're born, we rely entirely on the we relationship, right? All of our needs get met by other. And then as we grow and we learn to walk and we learn to feed ourselves and we learn to put on our own clothes, we learn to grow into the me identity. of I can do things by myself and I have independence. And this is what's happening right now. We call it the terrible twos, but it's often the terrible threes and the terrible fours, because kids are growing into their me identity of trying to figure out, can I say no? Is that acceptable? Mm-hmm. Right? And underneath anger and frustration is another emotion. It's usually sadness, fear, or hurt. And so for him, I'm hearing that he's acting out disappointment. And so here's what I would say to you, because it can be so easy to spank, because we can get, behavior compliance very, very quickly just by giving a kid a spanking. But I think if you do that often enough, that kid's just going to learn to be even more angrier. And so we do two things with our feelings or our emotions. We act them out or we talk them out. So your grandson needs to learn words to be able to understand what's going on inside him. And if he can understand what's going on inside him, you start to engage another part of the brain that's already actively growing. And if you can do that early at this early age, like Alice is saying, hopefully when he gets to 13 years old, this kid has language to be able to express these things. And so it's learning to sit him down, give him some words and say, hey, I know that you're feeling disappointed and that's okay. Make it okay for him to feel that way. But then go back to the behavior and say, but it's not okay to go and break this. Here's when you feel this way. You can come to me and you can say this, right? And then also pair that with learning to help him control, the bodily reactions that's going on inside him.
And a four-year-old can understand enough about consequences. That's a good time to make sure that your daughter is implementing that, to let him know before the next aggressive episode happens, hey, if you punch anybody or if you go break something, this is what the consequence will be. And that might be a timeout. It might be him sitting in a chair facing the wall. He might lose some privilege. And that has to come as frequently as taking care of his heart. Those should be paired together. If it continues, consider the medical evaluation and down the road, the psychiatric evaluation, because some symptoms of ADD, ADHD can come out in irritability and aggression. That can be from a couple of different forms of brain development, and that should be checked if this behavior continues.
There is a whole bunch of things, Jean, that you can do and that she can do as well. This is a hard time, though, with the divorce going on. Uh-huh. And so we want to make sure that there is support for everybody involved. Mom, dad, even though they're going to be divorced, they're still going to be parenting. And there's the navigation of what that looks like going forward. It's tough to raise children, but I'm so glad that you're a grandma that cares. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, callers. We're going to continue to take calls for another hour, 1-800-229-3000. We've got a couple on hold. Please stay there. We'll be right back after this break. But we're so grateful to be here for you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.